Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast. I am your host, Michael McPherson, and I am here with my beloved, Mackenzie Marsluth.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Good to see you
again. I like that you introduce me like that every time.
You do?
Yeah, that's cute.
You wouldn't change anything about it?
No, not at all. Except for the fact I would have you do your rap that you did before live.
Yeah, that's something that can't be recreated. You have to catch it in the moment. So sorry to all of our listeners. You will not be hearing that rap today.
It was good. What's on your heart? What was in your ceremony today?
Oh, well, I was reading the 55th Gene Key, which is in my sphere of radiance for my activation sequence. And if you guys haven't gotten to the Gene Keys yet, we're definitely going to include a link in this podcast.
Ooh, let me write that down.
Yeah, write that down. So that you can get connected to them, because they're an amazing resource, an incredible work created by the one and only Richard Rudd. Shout out to Richard Rudd. And they've been a huge contribution to our life. But
Yeah,
I was reading the 55th Gene Key this morning after doing some breath work, and honestly, just surrendering into the sensations and feelings inside of my body. At times, it can feel like what's playing out on a collective level is literally happening inside of me. And in part, that's what this Gene Key is about. But the pitfall is becoming a victim of that, becoming a victim of our emotions, needing to have reasons and justifications for our emotions, evidence for them, needing to be able to point to something as a source. I did this, then I felt this way. And it's just so not the point. The point is just to surrender, let them pass through, and then, you know, be in that space once they've moved through, you know, that space of nothing, that space of creativity.
Basically, the Gene Key, the 55th Gene Key, it's the gift of freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's in his radiant sphere, which basically means that his access to his vitality is through freedom. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it basically says that as humanity ascends and upgrades into a future improved vehicle that is more in alignment with our inherent divine nature, that will be interfacing inside of Michael's body and upgrading in him, inside of him over time. So that's kind of awesome to witness.
Fingers crossed, right? Hope it all goes well. So yeah, that's what's on my heart. It's just been my body really, and just better understanding, even more so than I have in the past, what's happening inside of me. And having acceptance and understanding of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Because then now, like, since you're not a victim of it, you can still feel it and then even show up here, for instance.
Totally. Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, being a victim of it in this circumstance might have looked like, oh, I feel physically off. My sensations are kind of all over the place. I don't think I can show up and serve. I don't think I can show up and even be coherent on this podcast. So let's reschedule. And then you would have been like, nah, homie. Ain't happening like that.
Yeah. Oh, I just know you're so capable of like channeling no matter what. And sometimes it's in those vulnerable moments that we channel the best, actually.
Totally. Well, that's surrender, right? Mm-hmm. Surrendering into higher forces.
Yeah.
Within us and without us. What's on your heart?
Well, I was outside last night. I was reading a bit of Shaman Durek's book called Spirit Hacking, I think it's called that. And he was talking about how like important it is to be in nature without any distractions, which obviously is something Michael and I really represent to the core. That's like our underlying purpose in life, is to get people to come back to nature. Mm-hmm. And he was just saying how important it is to like talk to nature too, and talk to the trees, talk to the wind, talk to the ocean. But he gave this little spirit hack, this little practice that you open a portal with your finger and then you say, activate nature. I think you say, activate, log me into nature so that I feel it in my body. Mm. because he says like we log into our devices, we log into our, all things. So I did that. And oh my God, I just came right into my body right away. My heart got cracked open and put my hands on the earth and asked the earth to heal my hands from the technology and the EMFs and whatnot. And I talked to all the elements and I felt so grateful for this land. And then I listened to the Nako album.
I was going to say, you did a bit of singing, did you not?
I wanted to share this because what we talk about on this podcast is we bring awareness to the density around this topic of sex so that we can step into a new relationship with it. But really, we can't do it without nature. We can't do it without her grace. And the way that she can take our burdens from us and heal us and reprogram us is such an important element of this work. And I'm just like really, what I was present to was the gratitude I have for the plant medicines that have rooted me in my body, rooted you in your body, and reconnected us to the earth, and just how important it is to continue to bring people back to her.
Totally. And that's something that our words could never replace, right? Our words could never take the place of nature's effect and impact, Mother Nature's effect on us.
Totally. And then the new Nako album is so awesome. It's medicine. We've shared it with the Kapu community. Like, you guys got to listen to this, but it just has me cry every time. So the song Slow Down and the song Honor the Earth is they're just such pure medicine. So I really recommend that. And then, yeah, lastly, what I was getting in my contemplation was just how interesting it is that sex and money are like the two most corrupt things on this planet right now, the things that need the most upgrading.
Sex, money, and power.
Yes. Do you think that power? Yeah, I love that. Sex, money, and power. But yet, how weird is it that you are so here to help us upgrade our relationship to sex, and my jam is money and business? And I was just like, wow.
Who's coming in with the power?
And the must power.
Must be Earth. The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, there you go. I think the power comes from restoring the relationship to sex and money. Mm. Or sex and resources, sex and business, all that. Sex and service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was what was on my heart. And today we're going to talk about shame. And we're going to talk about sexual shame specifically. Mm-hmm. And I was in a pranic healing yesterday and with my friend Caroline, and what was really coming up for me was this shame around my body. And while inherently it wasn't related to sexual shame in that moment, I got to feel shame in my veins and like just kind of coming out of my cells. And it just, I mean, I was even embarrassed to talk to her about this. And so I got to, again, experience how shame can be so debilitating. Mm. We're scared to bring it forward. She was asking me the questions, and I didn't want to say the truth.
Yeah.
Because I felt shame from what the truth was. And yeah, so I'm just grateful that we're bringing light to the subject today. Will you tell us where you think sexual shame or shame around even talking about sex came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just want to acknowledge what you just said, because I used to think that I didn't actually have any body shame, but I do and did have body shame. I would say did, I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Specifically around my sex organs, and I'll circle back to that when it's time to kind of tell that story. But
okay.
Yeah, what was your question?
Well, why do you think people are so uncomfortable talking about sex? And why are they so shameful about even just the topic? Before we even get even into past things we've done or anything like that, just in general.
Well, I think shame is an energy that's inherited. It's absorbed from our environment when we're very young. Mm-hmm. So we are born, we come into the world, we're energetic sponges, we absorb our environment, we let it into us, it impacts us, it affects us, everybody knows that. But typically we're born into families, situations, environments where shame is already present. So it's not necessarily something that we even generate for ourselves, although at some point we accept it comes into us and we make it our own, right? But it's inherited. It's not even ours to begin with. And that's the irony of all this. Most of the shame that we feel around our experiences, especially our sexual experiences, was something that we inherited. Even our shame around sex, period, is something that we inherited. And we can talk about the different contexts from which that comes. You know, it comes from religion. Even further back, it comes from patriarchy. And really, it's a means to control someone, especially control men, because if you can, obviously, sex is inherent to our human nature, our sexual energy, our creative life force. It's inherent to who we are. We've talked about that in a previous podcast. But if you can teach someone to reject that and basically put them in an internal turmoil where they're constantly at battle with themselves, it's like divide and conquer on an individual level, on an internal level. You divide someone, you make them two parts or many parts, and then all those parts go to battle with themselves, and then all of a sudden they can't show up in the world empowered. And that benefits those who would wish to control or have power over that person. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that nails it. I mean, it's like sex is bad. Don't talk about sex. No, 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 no. Don't do it this way. Don't have sex before marriage.
Here's a resource, AKA the Holy Bible, that will help you manage that, right?
Don't masturbate. Don't. Blowjobs aren't accepted. Like, you're not allowed to do that, even if you're married. Like, all the rules. It is, even I just remember as, like, a young person being like, whoa, like, okay, so that's a no-no.
Right. There's not an inherent openness or relaxedness mm-hmm. around the conversation.
There's no conversation.
There is. I had literally no conversation. My parents didn't have one sex talk with me. I'm like, what is this sex talk thing? I never got that.
Really?
Never once.
Wow.
You know, and who knows? Maybe they didn't either. Maybe they never even talked to each other about it, you know? So.
Wow. It's just this like topic that like no one talks about. It's
what
funny.
Everyone experiences.
Everyone
it's a
knows.
Fundamental human experience. And I know there are some people that are asexual, or their experience is that they don't actually have sexual desire, they don't have sexual attraction, and that's beautiful. I honor that. It's not a large number of people, but they are out there. But for the most of us, this is something that's one of the core experiences of our lives that we never talk about.
Well, can I be honest? I mean, I'm sure that you can get to a point where you don't have any sexual desire. However, I'm wondering, though, if that's the soul, if that's really an aligned truth, because for the person, I guess for myself, when I didn't have sexual desire, it was because I literally shut it down. Mm-hmm. And I had programmed into me that is wrong. Don't even go there. And I, for some reason, I had this incredible power as a child to just completely shut it down mm-hmm. to the point where I have now been on a process of reawakening it and allowing it.
Yeah, even, I'm like, wake that up.
Yeah, I mean, even being in the bedroom with you, it'll be like there have been times where like I'll go or start feeling so much pleasure, and I had to literally tell myself like, that's a good thing. Like that's safe to go there. That's safe to be in this space and to feel these sensations and to let it feel good. Like pleasure has been shamed.
Totally. Pleasure is our birthright.
Mm-hmm. I love you. Okay. So in addition to just the general, well, actually I wanted to reflect back. Like there are people, I'll bring up sex in general. I'll just bring up sex, period, even in a business conversation.
Instant butthole clench.
Yeah, like the. Actually, I remember the first time someone ever brought up sex in a conversation.
Yeah.
It was this person. He was in a car with like four of us, and I didn't know him. Like they had just brought him on this. We were going to a ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so this kid starts talking about sexuality, sex energy, and different things. And I was just like, I've never heard anybody talk about this. Like, am I supposed to be comfortable right now? I mean, it just was inherently so strange for me. Yeah. But I can remember the feeling. Mm-hmm. And then now I'll see it happen to people. Because now, like, obviously, sex is like, we'll talk about it anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And people will be like, because I can be working with someone when it comes to business and be like, a lot of times what I want to say is like, how's your sex life?
Exactly.
How's your relationship to sex? Because it's like, yeah. And
it's not this area of our life that's compartmentalized and separate from everything else. Mm-hmm. I've asked people this many times, how's your sex life? And had the same experience. It's either like a deer in headlights frozen look, or like you can just feel their whole body immediately tense. And of course I have compassion for it because I was there once too. But your sex life tells a lot about your life in general. You know, sex being an analogy for life. How you do sex is how you do anything. Yeah. And we're saying sex. Mackenzie and I talk about sex in the context of sacred union, creating a safe and trustworthy container. The terminology we really use is lovemaking. Mm-hmm. So you can just exchange those two things. When we say sex, we really mean lovemaking.
Which is like, wait, why would making love be something that we should not talk about or like shame?
Right.
It's like the most incredible gift and most important thing, I think. But I was just even remembering, we've had conversations with our friends about how we want to raise our children in the future. Mm-hmm. And we've had discussions between the two of us, like, do we want to have an open door policy? Mm-hmm. Where we make love, but we don't do it like, you know, close the door and hide it away. Like,
yeah.
And of course, we still need to kind of, we'll work out those details and what's
probably
right.
Probably as it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Trial and error kind of thing.
But regardless, we want to have such an open, like, yes, your dad and I, like, we make love. Like, this is the thing we do inside of our sacred union. And, like, even to be able to have an open conversation, because mm-hmm. him and I have to check in with each other all the time about our space of intimacy. Is it where we desire? Is it fulfilling both of us? We have to be able to have those open conversations, which we do every Sunday in Sunday service. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to have to close the door to our kids listening in on that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And they come in with their own inherent intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. I think the thing children need the most is basically just a safe space to be whoever they are meant to be inherently, right? So we can provide that for them and mm-hmm. not necessarily try to impose our beliefs on them, to protect them from our beliefs at the same time, and just give them a voice and allow them to speak to things on their own and trust their inherent intelligence that they come in with.
And I would love to actually have a whole episode on like how to talk to children about sex, which is hilarious because every time you get interviewed, a lot of times people start talking about children. You're like, I don't have children, but every time like people ask me about kids.
Right.
So there'll be times where I'll think about when we have kids, like, what would you do about this? And he literally just always has. It's like he is a father yet without children. It's crazy. So I'd love to actually interview you on that. Well, because I think parents don't know how to talk to their young boys, especially about sex. So let's come back to that.
Okay.
But let's go back to shame.
Please.
In addition to just the general conversation in like holding shame, mm-hmm. you and I have interfaced with each other and with others in our community that have had past experiences that either they were a victim of or they initiated mm-hmm. that we too, and that we felt that we had kept inside of us. It was like that skeleton in the closet, never going to share that.
Right.
And what we realized was obviously this creates a lot of shame and blocks to intimacy. So would you please share about that?
Yeah, I kind of want to just take it from the beginning, if that's okay.
Please, yes.
So I have this intimate experience with myself, discover my sex energy for the first time, masturbate for the first time, truly magical. I thought I had literally discovered magic. I was like, wow, this must be the greatest secret in the world. I need to learn everything I can about this. And then I got into pornography, obviously, which you guys know. And it wasn't until I got into pornography or started watching it that I started to experience body shame. Oh. Because I would look down and see something different than what I saw on the screen. And now, I don't want to give you the impression that I have a very small penis. It's not true. Like, I'm a very average-sized man. I'm just going to throw it out there, right? But in comparison to the Goliaths that you see in pornography...
Totally.
It made me feel insecure and really made me feel ashamed of my own body parts, something that I have no control over, right? Something that I was given. It's not, you know, obviously I did have a choice on a soul level and I chose this body, which I love this body.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, at that point in my life, this was something that was given to me by God. You have what you have, you use what you use, and you just do the best you can. But that's where I first experienced shame or being ashamed of my own body that I was just given in this life, right? So then from there came all the other thwarted, shameful experiences. So on a lot of these porn websites, there are, you know, they sell things. They sell pills that promise to make you inches bigger in weeks. And so I bought some of those, tried it, didn't work, but felt very shameful that I even bought them in the first place. Felt embarrassed, hid them. One time I had my friend like literally find them in my drawer, my pants drawer of my dresser. He pulls them out. He's like, "What are these?" And I just remember my stomach literally hitting the ground. It must have the ground right between my feet. That's the sinking feeling that I got. Mm-hmm. And I blamed it on my father. I said, "Oh, those are my dad's. Like, you better put those away. If he finds out that you found those, he's going to be really upset. He wanted me to hide them from my mom." This whole thing, right? This whole lie. But right. You can see, like, the extent, like, it keeps the shame keeps expanding outward, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm lying to my friend about something.
Right.
And that's inherently shameful, right? To lie to somebody you love.
Yeah.
And so when the pills didn't work, I got a device and wore the device around, and it was incredibly uncomfortable. And I was always like scared that somebody was going to find out that I was wearing it, you know, and that's all inherently shameful. And honestly, I was so uncomfortable with myself sexually that I couldn't even engage with someone else sexually without feeling a sense of shame, without feeling a sense of embarrassment, without feeling incredibly insecure. And so the first time I ever had sex, I was drunk. I had just come back from like a bonfire party, high school party, high. I'd gotten high for the first time actually in my friend's car. And I was in a room with all of my other friends. I had like five of us were with five other girls in the same room. And it was her first time. And so there was blood on the sheets afterwards. And it was incredibly uncomfortable and embarrassing, and like the fact that I had to do sex for the first time like that, it just felt like it literally tainted, right, my whole sexual experience after the fact, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where it started for me. And then I had gone on a long journey of being really promiscuous and throwing my body around and throwing my energy around and not being protective of my own energy, not being considerate of other people's energy, taking that pornographic lens out into the world, objectifying women, basically having relationships where I got what I wanted and then sent them on their way, right? And it was always very hurtful. You know, you could see the hurt that it caused in that woman's eyes, whether she'd reveal it to me or not.
Yeah.
And I always felt bad about it. You know, I never felt good about doing those things. So there's always this perpetuation of shame that just it like was behind all of my actions, right? It was like where all of my actions stemmed from almost. And then coming into union with you, I was already really... I had the intention of coming clean, right? I had the intention of being really clean in this area of my life, in the area of sex, in the area of sacred union. And I remember one of the biggest and crippling things that came up was before you and I got together, I was with somebody else. And in that relationship, I had gotten drunk and cheated on her. And not only cheated on her, but had, I don't remember it, but I'm assuming that I had sex with... at that time, my best friend, a girl that he was seeing. Oh, so I effectively damaged two intimate relationships in one blow. And I felt so ashamed to the point where I couldn't even come clean. I couldn't even, you know, I had the opportunity to tell my last partner about that and I didn't. And it just ate at me. And I mean, you want to talk about something that will debilitate your power. When you hold on to shame and don't reveal it and don't share it, it literally eats away at you inside. It's crippling. You can't have power and hold on to shame at the same time. You just can't do it. Not real power, at least. So in our union, I literally thought that that was going to be the thing, that if I shared that with you, if I shared that I cheated on my last girlfriend right before you, that you were going to be like, oh my God, this person isn't who I thought he was. I don't want to be with him. Peace out. Mm-hmm. And you didn't. You were like, and I remember, like, I know you remember too, my body was physically shaking. Like I was going through a somatic release. Yeah. It took me probably an hour to finally deliver the truth to you because I was so scared, right? And my body was shaking. Mm-hmm. And I remember your response. You're like, really? That's it? You know, like,
yeah,
I thought it was going to be something way worse than that.
Yeah. And
that was incredibly healing for me.
It was. And, you know, do you remember how before you shared it, your mind had become like warped into creating a different story?
Totally.
Like really what it was is that you had this shame and you wanted to come forward with it.
Yeah.
But how it kind of got...
Took the long route.
The long route was that you started worrying that you were going to cheat on me.
Right.
And so you came forward and you were like, I'm worried I'm going to cheat on you. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. It doesn't, like, what do you mean?
Well, finally, I'm in a relationship, my one that I truly love and care about. And I'm like, I'm in this to win it, you know? And then that fear was genuine for me that I'm going to fuck this up.
Totally. I know. That makes so much sense. And then when we really got into it, you were just like, well, I did that in my last relationship. And then you felt so much freer after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keep going.
Yeah. So that was a huge step in releasing shame. And what I got in those moments with you was like that actually giving voice to it and sharing it, no matter how scary it is, no matter how bad you think it's going to go, that I thought it was going to go, was my access to freedom. It honestly didn't matter what your response was. It was just the fact that it was coming out and no longer being harbored and held inside of me. That was the most empowering thing, right? And of course, you met me with such compassion that I was like, wow, this is not bad. Like, why did I make it seem like this was going to be so bad? And I hope that everyone who comes out with their shame will be met with compassion and understanding like I was.
Which I think we can actually talk about that in a little bit of how to preface it, because everyone has something to come forward with.
Exactly.
So, yeah, keep going.
So then I thought, wow, the monkey's off my back. I'm free, right? That's everything. Let's party. Let's do this life. Let's have fun. And it wasn't until I started working one-on-one with men that something else surfaced for me. Is literally like a memory that I had blocked out.
Yeah.
Blocked out from my memory. And I was working with this man, a client of mine, who was sharing something with me that he had never shared with his wife. And as soon as he did that, this memory came flashing back into my awareness of a time where I was so desperate to, I was a young man, I say that I was 12 years old.
Boy. Young boy.
Yeah, I was a boy. I was about 12 years old. I don't know my exact age, but I think it was around 12. I was so desperate to know what sex felt like so that I could be prepared for the real thing. And I had saw like all these things online, obviously, that I tried to penetrate our family dog. And of course, it didn't work. You know, the parts aren't the same. But in that experience, after the fact, I felt that was probably the deepest experience of shame I'd ever felt, especially at such a young age. Mm-hmm. It was like, what did you just do? Mm-hmm. And why? To something and someone so innocent, you know? How could you have done that? And so that experience was literally the one thing that I had done in my life that I thought I would take to my grave.
Right.
I thought if I shared that with anyone, that not only would my reputation be ruined, that people would look at me like some kind of monster.
Yeah.
And so I tucked that one really deep inside of me And I remember, you know, even when it was triggered inside of me, right after that call, I went upstairs and I asked you to sit down. I said, there's something that I need to share with you. And I was trembling.
Oh, yeah.
My whole body was trembling, just like the first time. I thought for sure, like, this was the end, right? Mm-hmm. You were going to be gone after this, because how could you ever look me in the eyes and see the same person you had seen up until that point after I share this with you? But I knew I had to do it for my own freedom. I couldn't live with myself, right? Mm. If I didn't share it. And so I shared it with you. And again, you met me with such grace, such compassion, such understanding. You even met me with shares of your own. Mm. That I was like, I've literally been killing myself. I've literally been killing myself for 20 years. Carrying this weight around that's been inhibiting me from having intimacy with people. That's been inhibiting me from living into my bigness. Because I've got this thing in my closet that I use as an excuse to keep me small, or a reason why I'm not the person to lead others. And so, again, to bring it all the way back to the 55th gene key, I was a victim of my own shame. Allowing myself to be a victim of my own shame. But sharing that with you opened up the door for me. And I think it was the next week that I had another call with a group of men that I was facilitating a group with at the time, and I just came out and said it. I was like, this is what I did. This is what happened when I was so young. This is how it happened. And every single one of them came forward with something of their own. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got like, holy shit. Yeah. Everyone has something like this. Everyone has that one thing that if they think that if they bring that forward, it's the end.
Right. Oh my gosh. Literally, you are so brave to, like, I just want everyone to really know that when he first shared this, he was trembling and scared. And then he'd shared it again with his the men. Then he shared it again in the Kapu community. And then he shared it again in posts. Like, he's shared
it in my book.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, did they let you keep that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So it's like, when I was editing your book and I saw that you'd put it in there, I was like, he's so fucking brave. But the thing is it does give so much permission. And I have seen other people come forward with their own stories, mm-hmm. because of you sharing that. And then I'll say for myself, mm-hmm. when you first shared that, I thought to myself, I would have taken that to my grave. Mm. Like, that is the most courageous thing I've ever heard anyone say. Mm. Because I personally I would have not had the balls to say it. Mm. And so what it reflected to me is, what am I carrying that I think I'm taking to my grave? Mm. And so I came forward, and I mean, just right in that same exact conversation, I know, right. where we were sitting. Mm-hmm. And I shared this memory I've had for a long time of my sister and I rolling around with each other, mm-hmm. when we were little, and my mom was downstairs with her boyfriend at the time. We were at a different house, and I just remember rolling around, exploring our bodies with our clothes on. But inherently, I remember after being 4 years older than my sister, I was probably around 9, 10, 11. Mm-hmm. And feeling that incredible shame. Mm. In fact, I've never even talked to my sister about this. Mm. I'm sure we'll talk about it one day in person. But I just remember, that was the thing that I was going to take to my grave.
Wow.
So when you shared that with me, I was like, I have no choice but to share this. So we've seen people in our community literally, like, they were like, Mackenzie and Michael, like, we have to tell you that we would never tell anyone this. Mm. It happened just recently with one of our friends sharing. Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
When we were traveling, one of our friends came.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Something that she didn't even want to tell her husband.
Right.
She came forward to us with, and we told her like our own stories. And
this is where this becomes so powerful, right? Because mm-hmm. when you come to terms with your own shame, you are a powerful conduit of healing for others. Mm-hmm. Our friend came forward with something that she had experienced at a young age, similar to what Mackenzie said, where she was just playing with her brother and, you know, they felt something naturally, as children do when
they're playing house.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And she felt so much shame around that, that it was had literally like debilitated her to an extent her whole life.
Totally.
And the power in coming clean with our shame, the power in making peace with it, is that when she said that, it was like when you met me with compassion, I was like, oh, that's no big deal, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard that from so many people that I've worked with. Yeah. And here's mine.
Yeah.
Here's my version of that. And it was just like, it was so light, you know? When you're first coming forward with shame, it's so heavy and so dense and there's so much emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt so good to meet her, to meet that energy with, oh, you know, like, come here, let me give you a hug. No big deal, really. Yeah. You know, you can let that go.
Exactly. And then, you know, so she told me, then she told you, and then by the time she got to her husband, it was no big deal. Like,
right.
She, and so I was like, yeah, pretty soon you'll be on stage talking about this, you know, like you'll be able to say it. She's like, oh, I don't know about that. But, you know, it just, not that it's like, we're not trying to make light of it, but at the same time, the freedom and the lightness that presents itself in the body for newness to come is valuable.
Yeah. Well, I just want to acknowledge you for being so courageous in sharing that.
Thank you.
I know you
too.
Haven't had many opportunities to voice that, so I'm really
I'm
seeing you and your bravery.
Thank you.
And sharing that here.
Yeah. Sharing it with her really actually helped. Like when my friend, I'd only told you.
Yeah.
Then when my friend told me her thing, I was like, oh, I had the same thing happen with my sister.
Yeah.
And then now I feel like, okay, I can share this. Yeah.
And I don't want to diminish the vulnerability that's there, right? Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly vulnerable thing to come forward with, especially at first, you know, until had practice, until you've built up some strength around it. And I also don't want to diminish the fact that some people may have a negative reaction to it. So someone could listen to this podcast and hear what we've shared and have their own reaction to it that's not a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
They may make assumptions. They have opinions, judgments. Mm-hmm. They may make us out to be someone. But that's the risk you take for freedom.
So worth it.
Yeah, it's like, what's it worth to you? Would you rather be safe and preserve your reputation? Or, and again, not everyone has to come out on a public platform and talk about this stuff. That's not the point. But what are you willing to risk for your freedom? Are you willing to risk losing some friends that might reveal to you that they're not really unconditional friends?
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I remember when my friend shared this, she was like, do you like, now that I've told you, like, should I tell my husband? I don't need to, do I? And I was like, honestly, yes, you do. Because that is the most intimate relationship that you're exploring, like, your sexuality with, like, forever.
Totally.
And like, he deserves to know, because not like you did anything wrong. It just to bring that intimacy forward is so important. So like, I would love, because you've worked with men that have like opened up to you about things that I don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like going into that conversation, because they did have partners? Like, were they wanting to talk to their partners? Were you guiding them to? What was that like?
Yeah, I'm always encouraging men to have the same conversation they're having with me, with their beloved, with their romantic partner. Because for me, it feels like a matter of integrity.
Mm.
There's this thing that circles around in men's communities, in men's group, that's like, the saying is like, your wife isn't your therapist. And that's not the point. The point is to share with your beloved and your partner every single thought that you have, because a lot of thoughts that we have are extraneous. They mean nothing. It's like, it's literally like, nobody wants that, right? Just let that shit go.
Yeah, like, I don't want that. Like
exactly, right? Okay. I don't want that from you.
Yeah.
But when you get to something that's real, when you get to something that's actually got emotion attached to it, when you get to the source of something, and a lot of times we get to the source of something together, right?
Yeah.
that's where it becomes a matter of behavioral integrity to share. And look, a lot of times people don't share because that's the hook that allows them to keep participating in whatever they're participating in.
Wow.
Right? Because if they actually were to come clean with it, there's a next level of accountability there. So I'm always encouraging men to share with their partner, not because your partner is your fucking therapist, because you have a commitment to having transparency and intimacy in your relationship. And that means nothing in the space between you and your partner. And from there, that's where you really get to have fun. And until you get there, it's not to say that you can't have fun along the way, but until you get to the point where there's nothing in between you, no skeletons in the closet, no bad juju, no shame, you don't really know the power of union. You don't really know the creativity that's available. You don't really know the fun that's available. You don't really know the healing that's available, right? Yeah. And again, it takes courage because that person is the closest person to you. So you risk losing them. You risk them seeing you differently. You just risk.
Judgment.
Yeah,
judgment. Them, their family, all that.
Again, and if that person is in it to win it with you, then they're going to show up and they're going to meet you there.
For sure. Which is, it's a soul contract. You're responsible to yourself for your relationship to your integrity. But I will say that in union, it's not like Michael has his own relationship with sex and I have mine. And that we just sometimes join it together and then we're responsible for ourselves. It's like, no, literally, like when you are merging, I am taking on everything of his inside of my womb. He is taking on everything of mine energetically.
Right.
It is a responsibility to it's not that we're going to be perfect, but to be as clean as possible. When something isn't clean, to bring it forward, because it'll be something that you're working on together to clean up. It's not like, oh, you need to clean that up and I'm out until you do. It's like, oh, that's here. That is something we are both cleaning up together because it is in my body and it is in his. So I think that's what, okay, like men and women don't understand, whether they're in union or they're not, all of the shame, past experiences, relationship to sex, objectification of people, like all of that is getting transferred into the person's body and sex organs when you exchange, when you make love. And it's, I've had that experience of actually, I took on so much of that from a past partner, and inherently that was shameful because you and I were in union while I was cleaning that up. And you held so much amazing space because I actually, through all of the things I had taken on in my womb, I actually had manifested a UTI that was lasting over 6 months.
Wow.
And it was like, I knew why. And I had to tell him that. And so then I did have the grace of a plant medicine named called San Pedro that actually showed me this energy, this black balloon that was inside of my womb. And like my sex organs were carrying this. And to the point where when I let that go and sent it back to the person it belongs to, my UTI went away overnight.
Wow.
So, but it's like if without being honest about it, I wouldn't have been open enough to let that go. It can't be something I'm like working on in private and not sharing with my partner.
Right.
Because again, as he penetrates me, he's up against that with me. He's receiving that. Like we're in it together. And it's a gift in that sense, you know? Okay. So how would you recommend that someone have this conversation with their partner? Is there something they can preface it with? Are there any things you recommend that they do in their private, like spiritual practice, so that the partner receives it and is down to like lean in?
Yeah, well, we can always call upon the energy of grace, right? Mm-hmm. Ask for grace. And I think prefacing context is really important when it comes to really big conversations like these. Mm. Because, you know, when I come forward with something that I'm shameful about, it could trigger something in you.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to, right? And mm. now it brings to the surface something that's incomplete for you mm. and needs healing. Mm. But if we're in that dance together and as opposing sides, that's not going to go well for us. So as a man and as men that are desiring to come forward with something that they feel shame around, with their beloved, with their partner, prefacing it with language is really important. Mm. And just telling the truth. And that's what vulnerability is, isn't it? Hey, there's something that I'm really scared to share with you. And I know that I have to in order to feel free. And I know that I have to in order to have integrity with you in this relationship. And I'm like, I'm afraid. This could be like, I feel like this could be the thing, you know, that has you leave me or mm-hmm. look at me different or see me differently. So you just have to be real about it, you know, and that kind of vulnerability leading into a big conversation is going to invite someone to lean in with their heart. But what happens often, and I've done this many times, is it becomes a projection. Right? So you want to have the conversation, but you're not willing to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and lean into it and initiate it, right, with vulnerability. So it starts to become a projection, like you're trying to control me, or, oh God, how does it come out? You would probably know better than me because you've heard so many of my projections, right?
Yeah, that's it, I would say. Like, well, I can really only remember one time. That was a big one. So there's a couple different ways that this can present. The first one is that you know you have something from the past that you want to reveal and you desire to just release it and have it be loved and accepted by your partner. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's almost easier because you haven't figured out really. You just know this is something from the past, you need to share it. But for yourself, you've kind of cleaned it up. Like you're not still participating or you're not still engaging with that.
Right.
Right? You're not coming forward with, I've been cheating on you.
Right.
You know, like that's the option too. But the first one is more like I cheated on my partner from the past and I'm carrying shame from that. Mm. That's different. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it still might bring up something for your partner, of course, just depending on where they're at with their own journey and their own life experiences. My life experiences of cheating on past partners gave me compassion for Michael. Mm. But for someone that hadn't done that, might take it out really personally. And in that situation, you could say, I know this might really trigger you. Mm. And I'm committed to working with it, with you on it. And I assure you that I am committed to not repeating that from the past. And I'm willing to have the conversation. Mm. That's the first thing. But number two is like, if you're right in the middle of something, like I've seen you be one time, you were like, you hadn't figured it out yet.
Right.
You were more like, why the fuck is this happening?
Right.
What is going on with my brain right now?
Yeah.
And so then what you did is you were like, you're trying to control me with women. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then you were just like, I don't know. And then I was like, tell me what's really going on. You're like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you have to. And then I forced it out of you.
Yeah.
And then you'd said it, but it wasn't figured out yet.
Right.
You were in the middle of it.
Yep.
You were up against your own shit as a man, mm-hmm. up against your own stuff. And so that, because it wasn't figured out, it wasn't in this pretty bow package.
Totally.
That sent me straight into my wound.
Right.
And I was freaking out, you know? And so we freaked out for 3 days until we sorted it out. But, you know, now I think that he's had that experience. He would know what it is and what's coming up for him. And he'd be able to kind of like be with spirit on it and either set it aside, reconcile it for himself. And then maybe come forward with it of like, hey, this happened. I've cleaned it up because like this. Here's what I learned. Here's my commitment moving forward. Mm. You know, so again, that probably still would have brought stuff up for me. However, it just depends on where you're at. So, sorry, here's my point. If you're in option two and you know, like, look, if you have something in your space, you can't be free.
Right.
So if this is really there for you, you don't need to go away and figure it out first. You can share it. Just preface it with, I need to share something with you and I don't have it figured out yet.
That's so good.
It, like, I'm scared. I wish I had it figured out. I really did, because then it could be like, you would feel safe and secure and stable in this relationship, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw us into the fire for a second, and I'm going to ride that fire out with you.
Ooh, here's what I'm going to say. That's so powerful. And we're obviously pointing to the fact that it's not always going to be pretty. There is no textbook for real relationships, real divine union, especially a twin flame relationship. There, we're going to write one. But even then, even if we wrote in words everything that we've experienced, all the codes that we've learned, how to handle situations when it gets tough, you're still going to have to go into the fire without knowing what's going to happen to you when you're standing in it or when you come out the other side. That takes incredible bravery. Mm-hmm. It takes a willingness to get messy. You have to be willing to get messy. Mm-hmm. And God knows that you and I have been messy together, right? But ultimately, we have our commitments. We have our container. We have our sacred contracts. We know what we're moving towards and coming back to.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit more freedom to get messy, because in the messiness, that's where you get to the really deep stuff.
So true. You just hit on the container part. Like, having your container and your commitments, your core values written out, and having those consistent checkpoints like we do on Sunday service, this is where it comes in real handy. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in the fire and you can have that to refer to and remember, it is just so handy. We're going to do a whole other podcast episode on that.
Yeah.
And I will say, we didn't do it alone. We didn't go through these messy moments alone. Number one, we've had community. We've been very open and authentic with our community when we're going through something. Mm-hmm. And we allow them to contribute to us. And we don't try to put, like, show face, like, right, put it on, like, yeah, we're this perfect couple and we have it going on. It's like,
and we're serving too. So sometimes that means showing up to spaces where we're meant to serve and hold ceremony for other people, being a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And being like, look, we're right in the middle of something right now. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And we're still committed to showing up and serving.
Exactly. And so that's so, I love that. And then it's like, we've called on support. We've paid for support, mentors to mm-hmm. help us in these challenging moments.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of many right now that have stepped in to assist us, but we had to ask for the help. Mm-hmm. We had to have the courage and the willingness and be willing to invest the resources into that, in the time and the commitment. And because when you do that, you have that accountability. And I think that's why people sometimes avoid it, or they keep it behind closed doors and kind of locked up.
Yeah.
And then in addition to the mentors, we have been so committed to our practices with spirit. So like, when things get messy, we always like, your spirituality is key to be able to tune in to your own soul.
It's definitely not a time to forget about it.
Yeah, because your soul is going to walk you through this. And then lastly, this is for us. Our soul contract was really deep and is really deep with the plant medicines. And those medicines, we've never relied on the medicines to answer our questions or to fix us or to change us or to make us better. Mm-hmm. We typically show up to the medicines in a very good space. However, they have contributed and reminded us of the truth mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And
yeah,
I'm really grateful for that plant ally, our main mentor,
yeah,
you know, the ayahuasca. So, yeah.
Such a great acknowledgement. And I will say, when you mentioned spirituality, what came up for me immediately was all the times we've been in such a state of crisis, both personally and together at the same time, that we literally have to pause and pray. Some of the most powerful moments that we've had together that literally flipped the coin from being opposing sides to moving in the same direction together, to actually moving towards healing something, has been through prayer. Literally, it's like you're in the middle of a fight or flight and you say, okay, I don't know what's going on here. This is obviously a really challenging situation. Let's come together and breathe and just say a prayer.
So good.
And that literally will change the direction of the experience.
Absolutely. I can remember so many times. Mm-hmm. I love that. Let's circle back since we have a few minutes to shame. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with in terms of next steps for themselves to release their shame? And even just to open up just more open conversations with others about sex in general. Mm-hmm. What would you say, no matter whether they're in union or not?
Well, what I'll lead with is the one thing that perpetuates shame is silence. So to stay silent basically means you're making an agreement with yourself to hold on to the shame that you want. You're telling yourself, the universe, that you want to keep this. And so that doesn't matter if it's past shame, present shame, something you're doing now, in your relationship, not in your relationship, doesn't really matter. To stay silent basically says, I want to keep this and I want more of this in the future. So we have to give voice to it. I invite everyone that's listening to, if what we've shared in this conversation has resonated with you, to take some time, maybe sit with a cup of cacao, have a ceremony, and really reflect upon your life. Some of you won't have to reflect because some of you will obviously really get connected with your shame just listening to this. All those memories are going to pop back up and you're going to realize the things that you haven't shared with anyone that are still basically eating away at you inside. Mm-hmm. But for others of you, you're going to have to do some excavating. You're going to have to dig a little bit. And obviously ceremony is a beautiful place to do that. So sit down, have some stillness, some quiet, drink a cup of cacao, and really just get present to where you're holding shame and what it's tied to. And then if you're not ready to share it with the people that you're intimate with in your life, hire somebody. You can hire me. I will listen to you. I will empower you. And I'm just one example. There's many people out there that will. Mm-hmm. Hire somebody. And if you're ready to go beyond that and really get on the court with this, sit somebody down in a ceremonial setting. Mm-hmm. Set the space. You know, you don't have to go to the extreme, but make sure it's a sacred setting so they don't think that they're coming in to have like this basic bitch conversation with you and then you drop this shame on them and they're like, what the fuck? I didn't sign up for this. You know, preface it, prepare for it, set the space so that you both feel safe to have a really deep, maybe intense conversation.
Mm. Oh, that's the power of ceremony, right? Mm-hmm. Like even just how many cacao ceremonies we've had, where people just feel permission to share. Mm-hmm.
It's a safety.
Yeah.
You're in a safe space, a sacred container.
Mm.
And we can create that for ourselves and we can create that with other people.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And in addition to just calling out anything that you do have shame for, I love the reflection practice, by the way. I think that's really important. Just being open. Like my friend was messaging me this morning and she was saying like she's the only person in her friend's group that talks about sex. Like no one else wants to talk about it and it's like they feel uncomfortable. So just the more you talk about it, the more comfortable people are going to get, and invite them into it. Mm-hmm. Ask questions, have them share themselves, their experiences, because it'll start shaking things up like in a good way, kind of shaking loose the tightness of the repressed society we've been living in.
Yeah. Well, the only permission that's really there currently is when you talk about sex, you have to talk about it in a low vibe way. For men, it has to be locker room talk. For women, it has to be gossiping about the men they're seeing, the sex they're having, the whole thing, right?
Totally.
There's a way to talk about sex that isn't low vibe.
Yeah.
That's actually really high vibe. So you're going to have to initiate that. I'm just going to say that. Mm-hmm. Don't expect your friends to come forward with that conversation. You're going to have to lead that conversation, and you can.
Oh, like it's really been on my heart lately to explore my sex energy and to step more into the power that I have regarding my sex energy, and then share your experience. Mm-hmm. And then you could be like, what's your relationship like to your sex energy?
Yes.
Like just things like that. Thanks for bringing up the low vibe versus the high vibe. Cause yeah, that's such the truth. Just making it something that is a normal conversation, because why not? You know, it's just, yeah, this was so good. Thank you.
So good. Thank you so much. Oh, I love you.
I love you so much. We just always gush on each other at the end of all these. Yeah. Kiss, kiss. Mwah. Thanks, guys.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. And we will be back soon with another podcast. Yeah. Love you guys.